Hello and welcome. This is the Vet Student's Guide to Adulting podcast. I am Ethan Dahl, and I will be your host, teaching you how to adult your way through all of the big decisions that you will be facing as you approach graduation. Creating a budget, buying a house, cover letter, resume, interviewing tips, and of course we will cover the big one, how do I pay off my student loan debt? We will interview associates and practice owners from all over the U.S., as well as speak with experts from many different fields. We're going to cover in great detail all of the questions that you have as a student or a recent graduate, and so much more to equip you with the tools that you need to make those big decisions and give you peace of mind. Let's get started. All right, this is episode one of the Vet Student's Guide to Adulting podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I've been looking forward to this for weeks. I've been putting a lot of effort into making sure that this podcast covers everything that you need to hear and prepares you to make some really big decisions that are coming up in your life, whether you are a first-year vet student or if you've been out a couple of years. Most of the things that we cover in this podcast are going to be things that you need to hear and need to know and possibly were not exposed to either in undergrad or in your doctorate degree. And so today I'm going to give you some background on who I am and why on earth you would listen to a non-vet like me. I'm going to tell you about my background and primarily in the vet industry. Specifically, I'm going to get into how what I know applies to you, the vet student, but I believe that it's important that I go back and I just describe to you what has led me up to the point to be able to sit here today and give you some advice on what's coming in your world and where you're at currently. You know, I've already been asked, where'd you come up with this title for the podcast and why adulting? Well, I wrote a book 3 years ago called The Financial Guide for Veterinarians, and I just like the guide theme. I've got a couple of books that I'm in the process of working on now, but I like the guide. So that was a few years ago. And by the way, the book is available on Amazon. It's available off of my website at ethandahl.com/vetbook. And then there's actually an ebook format off of Apple Books. So anyway, I'm sticking to the guide theme in this podcast. And then as far as the adulting goes, you know, in my time facilitating the fourth year elective rotation practice management at Auburn University's College of Veterinary Medicine, students introduced me to the concept of adulting. And, you know, specifically they were, you know, about to graduate, they're about to have their doctorate, and they would come to me and go, you know what, I don't know how to adult. So, you know, here we are 10 years plus in the making, and I have a platform to share with you the years of experience that I've had on things that are in your world. And so let me get started in giving you some background. And I won't go way back of, hey, I was born in, but I went to a small high school in a small town in deep South Alabama, and I graduated high school, and I played 1 year of what was considered JUCO basketball, junior college basketball. I think most of the two-year schools are called community colleges now, but it was JUCO. And as a sophomore in college, I got started a little company called Global Enterprises, and I was a wholesaler of merchandise, mostly primarily to chains of convenience stores. And that was in my sophomore year. In my senior year, I graduated from the big University of South Alabama in Mobile, Alabama, in 1994 with a business degree. Later in another episode, I will tell you what a terrific student that I was. But I graduated from the University of South Alabama with a business degree in 1994. In 94, I had a defining moment that my oldest brother, that was 29 at the time, was killed in a car wreck by a drunk driver. And so that had a sobering effect on me as a young man. And then a couple of years later, actually just under a couple of years later, I had another defining moment, which actually impacts my life to this day, that I will tell you about in great detail in a later episode, and there'll be, you know, a good bit more information on that. But I sold my company that I called Global Enterprises shortly thereafter, and made a lot of mistakes. You know, I sold that company to a large wholesale company in our region, but they were a national company at the time, and I made a lot of mistakes. I let the purchase agreement be tied to an employment contract along with other things. I was so young and so arrogant to think that I knew everything, and I kind of got taken advantage of a little bit at the time. So I started a second wholesale company almost immediately, and yeah, you know, after what happened in 96, I really didn't want to be in that business. You know, I had a different focus in mind. So I sold that company, and I did well with that one. And in 96, I had really started devoting my time to learning about financial planning, financial advising. Currently, I hate the phrase, what are rich people do? But I wanted to know what rich people do. Within a year of that, I started focusing on advanced planning and estate planning, which is very much part of my current practice and what I do for clients of advanced planning and estate planning when it's appropriate. I put a very big focus on the tax code. Specifically, how do you take advantage of the more than 75,000 pages of IRS tax code? And I do not mean loopholes. I mean, how do you take advantage of the things that are clearly written in the tax code? So in that time, you know, I will tell you, I had a lot of money for a young man. I had sold a couple of companies, and I was had no accountability and extremely arrogant, which is a toxic combination, ignorant to how things work. I invested in just about everything you can invest in, and I made a lot of money. I lost a lot of money, and I learned what to do with money. But more importantly, and a lot of what I will share with you, I learned what not to do with money. You know, I have found through all of my meetings with veterinary students over the years, I have found that almost no one's parents share with them, you know, this is what I did that was good. This is what I did that was bad. Most of the young people that have sat down with me over the years have said, you know, my parents are horrible managers of money, and I just don't want to make the mistakes that they make. So that's what I'm hoping to help you with during this podcast, among other things. Since 2004, I've been a full-time financial consultant. That's what I primarily do, and I have clients literally all over the United States in many different occupations, but a large portion of the clientele that I have is in the veterinary industry, and I'm going to tell you a good bit about that in a minute in this same podcast, and it brings me to the vet experience. You know, why on earth would you listen to a non-veterinarian, someone that is not a veterinarian, does not have an education in the veterinary industry? What do I bring to the table? So I'm going to get started on how I got into the vet industry, but I am going to take a short break, and I will come right back to you. You have some huge decisions to make as you approach graduation and in your first year as an associate. Understanding your first employment contract offer is big, and buying the right disability policy is imperative. As a professional, you must protect your number one asset, your ability to go to work. There are many carriers to choose from, but the number one name in disability and the one that I recommend to my clients is Guardian Berkshire. It is the gold standard in the industry, and I am licensed to help you acquire the right policy to fit your needs. And as a new disability client, I can review your associate contract. Email me at info@ethandahl.com and let me help you acquire the right disability policy for your needs. So I get asked often when I go, especially and speak to large groups, why did you choose the veterinary industry to work in? You know, a lot of times it's almost, you know, what were you thinking? But actually, I did not pick the veterinary industry. My path to where I'm sitting today has been certainly unconventional, I believe providential. So in February of 2008, just before 9 a.m. And I actually went back and looked in my emails to find this one specifically, and I have it. I still have the original email. I got an email from a dear friend and client of mine, Tommy White, who is a mutual friend of mine and a husband and wife veterinary duo that were in our same area, the area I lived in at the time, Dr. Hank and Lacey Lee. Both are veterinarians in Atmore, Alabama, and they are actually my longest running veterinary clients. And in my early years of doing planning, they were my first vet clients. And at that time, I was still in my early years of doing their planning and just really learning about what they did and what I could do to benefit them. And so the email from Tommy simply said, vet thing at Auburn in April. And so it wasn't 10 minutes later, and I got a phone call from him, and he said, hey, man, did you get my email? And I said, yeah, I'm looking at it. What is this? And it had a link in it. And so it was to the April spring conference at Auburn University College of Veterinary Medicine. And I'm sure you guys at each of your colleges, you have a spring conference, but I had no idea what it was. And Tommy suggested that I go to call Hank and Lacey and ask them, well, you know, what's the deal with this this spring conference? And do you think that it would be of any value if I went to it? So in April of 2008, I went and I set up a booth at the spring conference on a Thursday afternoon. And I have a picture. I have a picture of that booth, and it is embarrassing how bad it was. Of the information that I had with me at that time, and almost none of it, virtually none of it, was related to the veterinary industry. It was related to financial consulting and what I could do for a professional or a practice owner at the time. And so I had been there maybe, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes, and this young man approaches me, and he starts just wearing me out with business questions, nothing to do with vet stuff. He's business questions, and he's excited to talk to me, and he's wearing me out. And we had talked for 20 or 30 minutes, and he says, hey, do you want to meet our VBMA president? Well, I had no idea what a VBMA was, but I said, absolutely, I would love to meet your VBMA president. So it was off campus at the time at a hotel. He takes me around a corner and down a hall and into a room, and I'm standing in front of this young lady, and he says, tell her what you told me. And so her name was Lisa Jividen. And interesting enough, I have reconnected with Lisa recently, and she is actually owns a practice and is doing terrific. But I'm talking to this young man, and he said, tell her what you told me. I think that kid's name was Dustin. Of course, now not a kid, you know. He's been practicing for 12 years or so, 11 years, I guess. But I'd love to meet Dustin. Dustin, if you're out there, give me a call. So tell her what you told me. And I'm like, well, which part? Because we had talked for at least 20 minutes, and he said all of it. So I started kind of giving the information that I had talked with Dustin about. I believe it was Dustin. And she said, she stops me about 10 minutes in, and she says, you're exactly what we want. Would you come speak to our VBMA group? Absolutely. Well, at the time, although I do love to hear myself talk, at the time, the only groups of people that I had spoken in front of really were at sports banquets, because I was a volunteer assistant basketball coach with a dear childhood friend of mine for many years, Coach Chad Pruitt of the Auburn University Tiger basketball program. And so that's the only groups that I'd spoken in front of. But like, heck yeah, I'll come speak to your group. So we emailed back and forth for several weeks, and I finally got the invitation to come and speak in August of 2018. So I had gone out and talked with Dr. Lee, Hank and Lacey, and I said, what do you think they want to hear? And so they talked a lot about student loan debt, and they talked a lot about, they wanted me to share reality with them, and they gave me all kinds of things that they felt like that I could bring value with. And so I did. I got invited, and it was for 6 p.m. And so They put me in the nice hotel there in town, which was terrific. I called my friend, Coach Pruitt, who was coaching at a high school at that time in the area, and I said, hey, brother man, would you come and listen to my presentation to tell me how bad it stinks or not? He said, absolutely, I would love to do that. So it was supposed to start at 6. At 5:30, I pulled up in the parking lot, and it was a ghost town. There was nobody there within sight. So about 5 minutes later, up rolls two or three of the executive, the VBMA executive students, and they unlock the door and they greet me. It's 20 till, we get in the room, we're the only ones there. It's a quarter till, my buddy shows up and says, there may have been, I don't know, 8 or 10 people there. And he shows up and he says, it's a packed house, I don't know where I'm going to get a seat, picking with me. And so it's 10 till, I go to the restroom and I call my wife and I said, this is going to be embarrassing. There is no one here. And she said, you know, give the presentation like the house is packed and go to your hotel and it'll be fine, no big deal. Well, I came out of the restroom 5 minutes later and it was chaos. There were, I don't know, around 100 students or so in the lobby. The food had shown up. And I have found that to be true at just about every VBMA meeting since, is no one's coming until the food shows up. So it was packed. It was just packed. And Lisa did a great job. I have confirmed with her, I was the first non-faculty speaker to speak to the Auburn University chapter, VBMA chapter. I was the first non-faculty speaker to speak to their group. And I did, after that lecture presentation, I spoke to the Auburn VBMA 2 and 3 times a year, every year for about 8 years. So I gave my presentation. I was done. I was packing my stuff. And Coach Pruitt comes over to me and I say, okay, how was it? And he said, well, your content was really good. Your delivery was terrible. And I'm like, well, thanks for the support. He left. And so as I'm packing my stuff, the 3 or 4 VBMA administrative students came over and said, oh, that's exactly what we wanted. Would you be willing to put a syllabus together as though you were going to teach a class and come back and talk about that syllabus and that class? We want this. What you just talked about is exactly what we want. So I'm like, sure. Sure, I will. You know, I'm an average C student from from the University of South Alabama with a business degree. But yes, I will. I will put you a doctorate elective together. And the truth is, I'm playing down what I had to offer. But what I look back, what I had to offer them is a perspective from the non-academic side of the real world, and I was going through some very basic financial planning, but real world stuff, and it resonated with that group of young people, and it did right up until now, you know, when I go and speak at veterinary schools. So I put the syllabus together, and they invited me back, and I came back in February of 2009. They invited me back, and they had told me, talk about whatever you want for 15 or 20 minutes, and then talk for about 15 or 20 minutes about doing this class. And they specifically said, I want you to talk about it as though you're already doing it. So I did. There were several faculty and administrative people in the audience. And I was actually quite shocked that students came back to listen to me talk again. And when it was over, I had a 2 or 3 faculty people say, hey, would you be willing to help with this class if we make it a reality? And I'm absolutely, at that point, I started becoming quite passionate about helping veterinary students. Over the years, I have a very strong passion for being able to share with you some truth without soliciting you and making you feel like you need a bath after my presentations, because, you know, you guys are on a fixed income because it's a student loan debt. And really what you need is you need some truth and some education to be able to make your own decisions, not to be told what you need or sold something at the time. So my first class was a 6 p.m. class, and there were 34 students as best I can remember. And so I did around 2/3 to 3/4 of the lectures, and then other faculty members filled in, because that was the way that the administration had set it up, because I did not have a teaching degree or anything. I was just sharing knowledge. So I did, 2/3, 75% or something. But the first night, there were 34 students. And so in my innocence, I get up and I say, I'm available to answer your questions. Feel free to take advantage of me. I look back and I laugh at that every time I'm available, take advantage of me. So I got done. I thought it was an hour and 15 minute lecture. It was a 50 minute lecture. And I still have a hard time calling them lectures, because I don't really know what else to call it from my world, but it just makes me feel uncomfortable to say I'm lecturing a class. But there were 10 or 12 students in line waiting to ask me personal specific questions to do with their finances. And from the very first night on, every night that I gave a lecture, it had a line of students that wanted to talk after each lecture. I do not know this, but I believe the syllabus that I put together was the first official 4-credit class at a vet school in America. Now, if it was not the first one, certainly one that was a non-faculty member, a non-academic that lectured that class, I believe it was the first one in the country. I did that class at Auburn for 8.5 years, and within a couple of years of starting it, I had so many students wanting meetings that we created, or the administration created, a position that was a financial counselor. So, technically my financial counseling to veterinary students goes all the way back to 2008, but it certainly goes back to around 2009. And I started officially meeting one-on-one, had a little office there on the Auburn campus, and I would officially meet with students one-on-one, and they would be able to address any of their financial concerns. And I look back and I have had so many people leave my office at that time and say, I just feel better about where I'm at right now. And it was less about, the fact that I had some secret knowledge, and it was more about just knowing. Everything is scary in the dark until you turn the light on, and then it's not so scary. And I think that's the way it is with your finances. It certainly is the way it is with your student loan debt. So I'd say 2 years after I was doing the student meetings with Auburn, Tuskegee University College of Veterinary Medicine, which is about an hour away from the Auburn campus, they were added to the group that I would meet with. And so I lectured that class for 8.5 years. I met with easily hundreds of one-on-one meetings with veterinary students. So, what do I bring to the table? I have had intimate conversation about just about everything that you could possibly ask me that's to do with your financial world, your vet student world, and then as you approach graduation and get into your first 2 or 3 or 4 years, I know about as much about your world as anybody in the country to be able to share with you the things that are good and the things that you should avoid. In the same 8.5 years, I piloted a fourth-year rotation called practice management. I did that for a little over 2 years, and it was a great fourth-year rotation. I would take 6 students to a vet practice and do a little mini assessment. And a gentleman named Jeff Sanford out of Georgia was instrumental in creating that type rotation, and it is a wonderful opportunity that's still happening at Georgia. It's a really great rotation. But I piloted that as a fourth-year rotation for about 2.5 years and got it up and going. And then, I continue to do a good bit of work at Tuskegee's campus currently. I have spoken at veterinary schools all over the country, of course at Auburn and Tuskegee, but at Mississippi State over the years. I've spoken at LSU, Usually I do an annual half day at Lincoln Memorial University. I've been to Michigan State actually this year and did, I think, 3 hours for their VBMA. I've been to Grenada at St. George's College of Veterinary Medicine and did a four-day lecture series and then spent time, you know, answering questions one-on-one. You know, that actually brings me to a point. If you would like for me to come in and either speak to your VBMA or your student group, I'd love to do that. I love going to VBMA groups and speaking and SCAVMA groups. And if you're interested, email me, ethan@ethandahl.com. I've also spoken at Georgia, University of Georgia College of Veterinary Medicine several times. In the past, I have done for both Alabama and Georgia. They have a thing called Power of 10. I think it's 10 young veterinarians that have a lot of promise. I think they have to have been practicing for 5 years or less. And they go through a rigorous several months. They bring speakers in and talk to their group and share information. And so I did that for a couple of years or so. I have given the Legal Financial CE, the Continuing Education for Alabama's Vet Med Association, for 2 or 3 years. And something that's really been, I've really loved being part of, for the last 3 years, I have been a national speaker for what was Mariel. It's now, of course, Boehringer Ingelheim. I have been a premier speaker for their premier client program. And that has been just a real thrill for me to be able to do. And I absolutely love getting to do those. In 2016, I published a book called The Financial Guide for Veterinarians. Now, that book is available on Amazon.com. It's available off of my website at ethandahl.com/vetbook. And I actually just recently have it in Apple Books in an ebook format. When I was in Grenada, it cost a fortune to ship stuff from here to there. So students were asking, could you make that happen? So I now have that available. If you are interested in a bulk order for your group, or if you have a sponsor that would like to provide it, I discount the book down dramatically to make sure I get it in as many hands as I can. If you're interested in that, email me. I'd love to talk out how I can help. But back to, you know, why would you listen to me? I have that experience that is probably very unique in the academic world, but I also perform vet practice consulting and assessments at veterinary clinics all over the United States. And I have vet practice owner clients all over the country that do work with me with the veterinary consulting and also on their personal, financial, and estate planning. I do that for them too, for a lot of them. I believe I have a strong knowledge base of your world and the veterinary world in general, certainly not due to my superior intellect. The more I talk and stutter around through this podcast, you'll find out that's certainly not true. It is not because of formal education. It is based on firsthand experience in your world and firsthand experience in the veterinary world. I believe I understand it as well as anybody in the country, and I am hopeful and thrilled to have the opportunity on this podcast to share what I know with you. Over the last 10 years, I have met one-on-one with hundreds of vet students, one-on-one personal meetings on a vast array of topics. I actually had a young lady whose dad had passed away, and she and her brother inherited a golf course. There is almost nothing that is going on in your world that I have not seen and worked through before with other vet students, probably many different times. The questions that I have been asked are the same type questions. So I'm going to try and cover as much as I can that I know you want to hear. I'm also going to do a question of the week that I drop on Mondays. So if you have a question that's burning a hole in your pocket, if you'd like to send me an email at ethan@ethandahl.com, I'll consider it for the question of the week. Now, when I was at St. George's earlier this year, I provided a half day of one-on-one meetings. I would be willing to come to your campus, meet one-on-one with students. It could be possibly a great idea for fourth year students when they're midway through through fourth year, or it could even possibly be a fundraising or membership drive opportunity for you guys with VBMA and SCAVMA to provide a day of student meetings. So if you're interested in that, email me. I'd love to talk about it. Now, that is my vet world experience and why that you may consider listening to me and this podcast of what I'm going to bring to the table. What do I do? You know, I get asked this, especially after my BI presentations, premier presentations. Okay, I heard everything you had to say. It sounds like you do a lot of different things, but what do you do? How do you make money? Currently, I'm an independent financial consultant. That's what I do for a living, primarily. I do have clients all over the U.S. About 75% of those clients are in the veterinary world. I do consulting in the vet world, as I've said. I've done assessments and consulting as far west as Oklahoma and New Mexico. I've been all the way down in Florida and in Texas and Louisiana, as far up as, Virginia, Michigan. I'll be in North Carolina soon. I've been there several times this year already. All the states in between. So that's what I primarily do for a living. And I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, oh my gosh, will you please get on with this? This is all great. Good for you, Ethan. Okay. You know a lot about the vet world, but let's discuss how on earth am I going to pay off my student loan? I hear you. But before we can make those big decisions, you have to lay a foundation to make those decisions. You cannot just decide, this is how I'm going to pay off my house. This is how I'm going to buy a house, rather. This is how I'm going to buy a new car. It's certainly, you can't make a quick decision on how you're going to pay off your student loan. If we were going to build a house, we wouldn't go out and just start putting up walls and the roof and doors and windows. We would measure, we would build forms for a foundation. We would have some plumbing and electrical put in the foundation. We would give that we would have it poured with cement. We would give that foundation time to cure. And then we would construct a home on that solid foundation. And that's exactly what we're going to do in this podcast. I'm going to educate you on your options instead of telling you what to think. I have found that you guys are smart. Educated you makes great, confident decisions. Emotional you can be a hot mess. So I want to teach you how to adult your way through all of these big decisions that are going to come up, and you need to be prepared for them. And this is where it would be a great time for me to stop for this week and get ready for next week. And what I'm going to do for you next week is I'm going to show you how to start laying that foundation for those big decisions. And as we move through this podcast together, I'm going to cover everything you want to hear. We are going to talk about creating a budget and managing your cash flow. I'm going to help you prepare with a cover letter and a resume and the interview process for you to almost be interviewing your potential employer back. There are things that you need to know ahead of time from that employer before you go, yeah, I think I would like to work for you. We're going to talk about buying a house and choosing a mortgage. We're going to talk about disability insurance because it is critical that you get disability right. I'm going to bring an expert in and we're going to interview him. We're going to talk about all the important documents that you need as a professional. I'm actually going to have an expert come in and we're going to meet head on and discuss about the suicide rate in the veterinary industry, which has surpassed the dental industry. It is a big issue. I believe that a lot of the issues with that are tied to financial problems and the student loan debt, and we are going to meet that head on. We're going to interview practice owners, associates from all over the country, both young and old associates. We're going to talk about ambulatory services. We're going to talk some large animal a little bit. We're going to talk to vendors, suppliers, students, and so much more on this podcast. And yes, I am going to cover in detail what are your options to pay your student loan debt off. Now, we post a new episode every Wednesday evening on Apple Podcast, on Google Play, and Spotify. Every Monday morning, we post a question of the week on the same platforms where I'm going to let you guys send in questions that are very specific, anonymous, preferably, I'm sure, and we're going to tackle some of your specific questions. Now, periodically, we will make announcements on our social media So if you would follow us on Instagram and follow and like us on our Facebook pages, that would be great. We're working on potentially doing a live stream Q&A in the future. My book is out, and I keep saying we. You know what? It's Ethan. It's me. You're dealing straight with me. My book, The Financial Guide for Veterinarians, is available at Amazon.com. You can get it off my website, EthanDahl.com, and it's also available on Apple iBooks. If you have questions directly for me, you can email me at questions@EthanDahl.com, and do send a question of the week. If you would like to have me speak to your VBMA group or your veterinary group, I do both. Email me at Ethan@EthanDahl.com, and next week, we will get started on helping you lay your foundation. And until then, have a great week, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.